We are up to Lamed Zion Amud Aleph. We're up to the eighth line. So just to kind of pick up where we left off, we started to discuss the topic of Breira, this notion of what we called retroactive clarification, this idea that different types of activities can go into effect retroactively. And as we already started to discuss yesterday, this issue was like a raging machlokes amongst Tanaim and Amoraim about whether it applies, and we'll talk a lot more today about what the different situations in which this halacha applies. So the Gemara starts by questioning a pshita of Rabbi Yossi. Asks the Gemara, V'savar Rabbi Yossi ein Breira? Is it really true that Rabbi Yossi denies Breira? Because remember, at the end of the day yesterday, we quoted this Tosefta about buying the wine from the Kusim. One of the Shitos that thought that it was a problem to do this whole thing where you basically verbally say, I'm going to separate X amount for Truma, for Maser Sheni, Rabbi Yossi thought that that did not work, which would lead us to believe that Rabbi Yossi denies the principle of Breira. So the Gemara says, is that really true? For Hasnam, you have a Mishnah Meseches Kinim, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shnei nashim shalakhu es kinein be'iruv, o shenasnu kinein l'chohen, ezehu sheyirtze kohen yakrav ola, ule ezeh sheyirtze yakrav chatas. Comes the Gemara and quotes the opinion of Rabbi Yossi in a Mishnah Meseches Kinim. The Mishnah in Kinim is discussing a case of two women who just gave birth, and we know that after a woman gives birth, she has to bring certain karbanos. So in this case, we're discussing the karban of the olas and chatas of the two birds that she brings. Now, the thing is, the Mishnah says that these two women come together to the Beis HaMikdash, and either they don't specify which birds are for which women, or they don't specify which bird is a chatas and which bird is an ola. So the Mishnah says, again, this is all according to Rabbi Yossi, that it doesn't matter. The Kohen can offer whichever one he wants as a chatas, and whichever one he wants as an ola, or whichever one he wants for one woman, and whichever one he wants for the other woman. It's not a problem. That would lead us to believe that Rabbi Yossi does, in fact, subscribe to Breira, because if he didn't subscribe to Breira, this wouldn't make any sense. How would the Kohen just arbitrarily be allowed to decide which animals are going to be offered for which karban? So don't you see that Rabbi Yossi does subscribe to Breira? So says the Gemara, no, it's not true. Amar Rabba, Hasam Kisha Hisnu. Rabba says, no, that Mishnah in Kinim, that Shita of Rabbi Yossi, was talking about a case where the women explicitly stipulated which animals would be offered for which karban. So the Gemara says, okay, yachi ma'ala memram, then that's obvious. If the women stipulated which bird should be a chatos and which should be an ola, then of course that's what's going to happen. That's not a Breira issue. That was built into the Tanai. So the Gemara says, no, kamash malan kinder Rav Chista, da amar Rav Chista, ein hakinen misparshos ela iba lakichas bailim iba asiyas kohen. Says the Gemara, no, that there's a chiddush regarding the designation of these animals, where the Gemara says that the way in which those animals, those birds, become designated either as a chatos or an ola can happen in one of two ways. Either when the women purchase the birds as the karban initially, they can decide, okay, I want this to be a chatos or this to be an ola. That's one option. The other option is that once they give the animals to the kohen, in other words, whatever the kohen decides to do, whatever animal he decides to shecht for whichever karban, that will infuse that status, that karban, to that animal. So in other words, the Gemara is basically saying this is not a Breira issue. This is like a built-in halacha. This is kind of a unique exception to the case of these animals, of these birds, right? So in other words, the Gemara says that you can't really bring a proof from here to the general concept of Breira. Okay, so now the Gemara tries again. V'akati sava Rabbi Yossi in Breira. The Gemara probes even further. Is it really true that Rabbi Yossi denies the principle of Breira? V'hasanya am ha'aretz she'amar l'chaver kachli aguda achas shel yerek o galuska achas eino tzarech la'aser divrei Rabbi Yossi v'achachamim omrim tzarech la'aser. So comes the Gemara and quotes a machlokas. This is based on a Tosef. Based on a brisa that says as follows. Let's say you have a chaver. So again, we know a chaver is a person who's makbid, who's careful to separate trumos and maestros, and an am haaretz typically is a person who is not so careful to do that. So imagine you have a chaver who's going to the marketplace to purchase whatever, vegetables, cake, bread, whatever it is, and the am haaretz turns to the chaver and says, do me a favor, when you go to the store, you know, pick up some vegetables for me, pick up some whatever, bread for me, whatever it is. So the Gemara presents a machlokes regarding whether the chaver is required to separate Meiser from the produce that he's going to give to the Am Haaretz. What's the issue here exactly? So this is an issue of Demai. Now we know that Demai is produce which is only a suffix. In other words, we're not sure if Trumos and Meiser are separate. Now again, in an ideal world, you really are supposed to separate Demai from produce, mi suffix. The thing is that Am Haaretz, we're not typically so makbid about that. So if the Am HaAretz is asking the Chavir to purchase the food for him, so the assumption is that the Am HaAretz himself is not going to take off the Demai, but the Chavir will. So the question, the Machlokas here in the Gemara basically is as follows. According to Reb Yossi says that if I'm the Chavir, I go to the store and I purchase stuff for the Am HaAretz, Reb Yossi says I have an obligation to separate, I'm sorry, Reb Yossi says I am not obligated to separate Meister from that produce. Why not? Because presumably, Reb Yossi subscribes to Breira, because eventually, when I hand over those vegetables or that food to the Am HaAretz, it's been revealed retroactively that always belonged to him, and he was never going to take off Maaser or Demai in the first place. Whereas the Chachamim disagree. The Chachamim say that no, the Chaver is obligated to take Demai off all the produce, presumably because they deny the principle of Breira, because you don't know which vegetables you're going to give to the Am HaAretz beforehand when you went to the store initially. So doesn't this Brisa prove that Reb Yossi in fact subscribes to Breira? So the Gemara says, no, it's not true. The Gemara says, Epoch, and we're going to see this answer is going to come up about five times on this Amud, and on tomorrow's Daf also. The Gemara says, you have to reverse the Shitos. The Gemara says, yep, we're going to have to say that Reb Yossi really is the one who says that you do have to separate Demai. You do have to take off Maser from the produce, which would therefore put us back in the original camp of Reb Yossi actually, of Reb Yossi actually denying Breira, unlike what we thought before. Okay. Yeah.
When you go to the store, isn't the obligation of the store owner to take off?
Maybe, but again, maybe if the store owner himself is an Am HaAretz, so he may not know the halacha, he may not be well-versed in the halachos of Trumos and Maaseros, so you can't just always rely on that. You have to, in other words, if you have a suspicion that produce might be Demai, if there's a Suffolk, then L'chadchila, you're supposed to take off Trumos and Maaseros Misuffolk. Again, you wouldn't make a bracha on that, for example, because it's only a Suffolk, but you're supposed to do that. So an Am HaAretz is not so careful about that, but a Chavir is supposed to be. Okay, so now the Gemara tries again. The Gemara tries with another proof. The Gemara says, Tashma, Ha'omer Meiser Sheyesh Li Bevesi Mechulal Al Sela Shatala Biyadi Menakis, Rabbi Yossi Omer Mechulal. So again, we have another proof that seems to point in the direction that Rabbi Yossi does in fact subscribe to Breira. What's this case? Let's say a guy has a bunch of Meiser Sheni produce in his house, and he wants to transfer the Kedusha of that Meiser Sheni to a coin. Now we know that in theory, you're supposed to take up your Meister Sheni produce to Yerushalayim to eat it, in a state of Tahara, but it wasn't always feasible. If it was too far away, if you couldn't make it, whatever it was, so there was an option to always transfer the Kedusha to a coin. So let's say a guy says the following. Let's say a guy says, whichever coin I pull out of my purse, that coin will be the one where all the Meister Sheni Kedusha will transfer. So clearly, that's an example of Breira, because you don't know going in, when you stick your hand into the purse, which coin you're going to pull out. So the fact that Rabbi Yossi says that works, that is a valid form of transferring the Kedusha, would lead us to believe that Reb Yossi does in fact subscribe to Breira, against what we were saying before. So once again, the Gemara says, you're right, Epoch, Ema Reb Yossi Omer Lochila. We have to reverse it again. We have to say that Reb Yossi really meant to say that it doesn't work. So the Gemara asks a pretty obvious question here, which is, Umay chazes da apach tarte mikamichada, epochada mikamitarte. The Gemara says, why are we in the business of, you know, reversing and altering all these brisos and toseftos? Why, in other words, it seems to me that we had a Mishnah, or in other words, our Mishnah led us to believe that Reb Yossi bought into Breira, and then we had all these, I'm sorry, that Reb Yossi denied Breira. We have all these other brisos and toseftos that seem to think that he subscribes to it. Why are we changing two brisos in favor of one Mishnah? Why not change the one Mishnah in favor of the two brisos and claim that Reb Yossi actually denies Breira? That would seem to be more logical. So the Gemara says, no, it's not true. Havadai ipchatanya de katani seifa. The Gemara says, if you look at the Seifa, at the latter half of that Brisa, Reb Yossi, talking about a slightly different case, where the person says, when I pull out a new coin from my purse, the Maaser Sheni Kedusha should be transferred to the new coin. In that case, Reb Yossi says that it doesn't work, implying that in the first case, where he doesn't specify a new coin, which we'll see in a second what that means exactly. It sounds like in the first case he holds that the transferring of Kedusha does work, which would lead us to believe again that Reb Yossi does in fact subscribe to Breira. So in other words, the Gemara's answer to the question about, well, why can't you just reverse the Mishnah? Why do you have to reverse all these Brisos? The answer is because it's implicit within the Brisa itself that Reb Yossi seems to actually subscribe to Breira. So that's what's leading us to believe that we have to reverse all of these Shitas. So the Gemara now wants to clarify. Hai Sela Chadasha Hechidami. What's this case of the new coin? So it says the Gemara, Idi Ika Tarte Tlas Diesh Breira Hainu Kamaisa, Ella Deleka Elachada Maitala. So the Gemara says that if the case is where you have multiple coins in the purse, let's say you have two or three coins, and so that would be a classic case of Breira, and not only that, but it would actually be the same as the first case, right? Because if let's say that person has three coins in the purse, and they say, whichever coin I pull out should be the one that I'm going to transfer the Maaser Sheni Kedusha to, so isn't that just another case of Breira? That's the same as the first case. So then it wouldn't make sense for Rabbi Yossi to distinguish between these two cases. They seem to be saying the same thing. Why would he say in one case that the Kedusha transfers to the coin, and in one case it doesn't? But on the other hand, if you're going to tell me that the case is where he only has one coin in the purse, so then, again, presumably there's no Breira there because you know exactly which coin you're going to pull out. But the problem is that textually the Gemara is a little bit difficult because it uses the word ta'ale. Ta'ale means I'm going to pull out the coin. But if you know which coin you're going to pull out, it doesn't really make any sense to say ta'ale. So the Gemara says, no, I need the sunny ratio ta'ale, ta'ale sefa nami ta'ale. The Gemara says, you're right, that really the word ta'ale is a little bit out of place here grammatically, but because the ratio used that word, so almost for like symmetrical purposes, the sefa also decided to use that word. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Amar le rava le Rav Nachman. Man hai tana da afilu b'derabanan leis le breira. Who is the tana that says that breira does not apply even for dine derabanan? Disanya amar lachamisha hareini ma'arev al ezem yikem she'erze rotzisi yelech lo rotzisi lo yelech rotza mi ba'odiyom eruvo eruv mishecha sheicha ein eruvo eruv. So the case is as follows. Let's say a person goes over to five people and says, I'm going to establish an eruv tchumen for one of you. So he says, the one of you that I established the eruv tchumen for, you get to walk the additional 2,000 amos in that direction. The rest of you are not allowed to do that, obviously. So the Gemara says, well, is that a valid eruv tchumen? So it depends. If the eruv tchumen was set aside, if he specified which of the five people he wanted to designate for the eruv tchumen before Shabbos, then that person is allowed to walk the additional 2,000 amos. But if he didn't specify, then obviously he can't. So the Gemara says, don't you see from here that we deny the principle of Breira even for Dina Dirabat? Because remember, we paskin that the whole concept of Tchumen is only Midrabanan, and the Gemara says explicitly that if the person does not designate which of the five people should be allowed to use the Tchum before Shabbos, then none of the five people are allowed to use it, which would imply that we deny the principle of Breira. So how do we resolve this? So says the Gemara, Ishtik v'lo amar le v'lo midi. So the Gemara says that Rav Nachman was silent. He couldn't figure out how to answer this question. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? V'lema le'tana de ve'ayohu. Why doesn't Rav Nachman simply cite the Braisa from Ayo? Remember back on yesterday's daf, we quoted the Braisa of Ayo. Ayo's formulation of Rabbi Yehuda Shita was that the principle that he denies Breira even for Erev Tchumen. So why not just cite Ayo's Shita as proving that even for Dinim Durabanan we deny the principle of Breira? So the Gemara says, no, lo shmiale, because Rav Nachman didn't subscribe to the Braisa of Ayo. We already pointed this out in yesterday's daf, that it seems as if the Gemara seems to reject Ayo's formulation of Rabbi Yehuda anyway. So now the Gemara pushes back on that. The Gemara says, Rav Yosef Amar, Tanai Shakal Mehama. Tanaihi, Rav Yosef says, hang on one second. I'm sorry. Rav Yosef says that this is actually subject to a Machlokes Tanaim. This very issue about whether Breira should apply to Dinim Durabanan is actually a machlokas tanaim. How do we know that? The sanya hareini ma'ariv l'shabbosos shel kol hashana ratzisi eilech lo ratzisi lo eilech ratzo mi ba'odiyom eruvo eruv mishecha sheicha. Rabbi Shimon omer eruvo eruv achachamim omer ein eruvo eruv. So the Gemara presents what's very similar to the previous case that we gave by the eruv tchumen. The only difference here is that the person says, I want to establish an eruv tchumen that it should be effective for every single Shabbos of the year. So again, if the person specifies where the location of the eruv tchumen is beforehand, so then, in theory, he should be allowed to use that on Shabbos. The only problem is that what if the guy never designated where that Erev Tchumen should be, and now Shabbos already began, and then after Shabbos starts, he says, oh, I wanted the Erev Tchumen to be in this direction. So that's a machlokes in the Gemara, whether that works. Reb Shimon says, that's still a valid Erev, whereas the Chachamim disagree. That would lead us to believe this is a machlokes regarding whether we can invoke the principle of Breira when it comes to Dinim Derabanan. It sounds like Rav Shimon says that you do invoke Breira. That's why he holds that even if the guy designates the Erev Tchumen post facto, after Shabbos starts, it's still valid because it's only a Din Derabanan, but the Chachamim disagree. So the Gemara says, hang on one second.
How can you designate an
Erev
for the entire year? Don't you have to put
that's a good... Well, again, if everything is still in place, remember this was... I think this was your question yesterday, Billy, but you know, if you designate an Erev on Tuesday, it can... In theory, theory, it could work for the whole year, provided that nothing happens to it. You know, provided that you know, it's still there, right? Yeah. Okay. Again, we're gonna talk more about that on tomorrow's daf, that issue about, you know, if something happened to the Eruv in the interim. Okay. So the Gemara just has a technical question here. V'hashamina l'Rabbi Shimon delays lebrera. But hang on one second. Didn't we just prove a second ago that Rabbi Shimon denies the principle of brera? Remember, that was the whole gist of what we were quoting yesterday with the whole case of, you know, buying the wine from the kusi. Most of the Tanaim that we quoted thought that you cannot make that verbalization. In other words, you can't say, oh, I'm designating X amount for Truma, X amount for Maser, X amount for Maser Sheni. It doesn't work because most of those Tanaim, again, aside from Rameir and possibly Rabbi Huda, depending on what you think about what we saw yesterday, think that it's not going to work because presumably they deny the principle of Brera. So how could he turn around now and say that Reb Shimon accepts the principle of Brera? And Gemara says, Kashi to Reb Shimon, other Reb Shimon. So that seems to put us in a corner a little bit. Now it seems to be that Reb Shimon is contradicting himself. So the Gemara says, you're right, Ela Epoch, like we've already seen, you know, a few times on the staff, we have to reverse the Shittos. So now if we're going to reverse the Shittos, now Reb Shimon becomes the one who says that if I did not designate the Eruv Tumen before Shabbos, it doesn't work. That does conform with his general disposition that he denies Brera. So now the Gemara says, hang on one second, my Kashia, Dilma ki leisle Reb Shimon Brera b'deoraisa, avo b'derabaranisle. The Gemara says, hang on one second, why are we so bothered by the case of Eruv? Maybe one can suggest that Reb Shimon only denies Brera when it comes to Dinim de Oraisa, but perhaps he accepts Brera when it comes to Dinim de Rabbana. It's not such a crazy thing to say. Why can't we suggest that as an answer? Gemara says, no. Because Sava Rav Yosef man de Isle Brera loshna b'de Oraisa loshna b'de Rabbanan Isle, man de Isle Brera loshna b'de Oraisa loshna b'de Rabbanan Isle, comes Rav Yosef and says that we don't start drawing distinctions within the world of Brera. If you hold a Brera, you hold of it in all cases, and if you deny Brera, you deny it in all cases. You can't start distinguishing between de Oraisas and de Rabbanans. That's one answer. Then Rava Amar, Shiny Hasam de Ba'in Rashis Sheshia Reha Nikarin. Comes Rava almost out of left field, and Rava gives us a completely unrelated answer. Rava says, the issue here is the difference between the case of the wine, of separating the Truma, Maser Rishon, and the case of the Eruv Tumen, it's not a Brera issue. It's a completely separate point, which is that in the context of Truma, there's a unique halacha that Truma requires what's called Shia Reha Nikarin. The Torah says when it comes to Truma, Truma has to be Rashis. It has to be the first of your produce to give to the Kohen. So the Gemara has a drasha based on the word reishis, right? When it says reishis degancha tiroshcha v'yitzarecha, the Gemara says that shiareha nikarim. When something is the first, the implication is that there are things that are not the first. There are things that are recognizable as not being that first thing that you're giving to the Kohen. So according to Rava, the issue with making these verbal declarations of separating the wine that you bought from the kusim, of saying, I'm giving X amount for truma and X amount for meiser and X amount for meiser sheni, it's not a brera issue. That's not the issue. The issue is that at the outset, when you designate X amount of wine for Truma, you have no idea what's the leftover, what's the Truma, you don't know what's what. That's a Truma issue. That's not a Brera problem. So Rava says, because there's this unique halacha regarding Truma that you have to be able to tell what's what, that's why it doesn't work. But again, this has nothing to do with Brera according to Rava. So Amar Le'abai, so Abai pushes back. He says, Elameata, Hayu lefan of Shnei Rimonim Shel Tevel, the Amar Yerdu Gishamim Hayom Yehezet Truma Alzeh, the Lo Yerdu Gishamim Hayom Yehezet Truma Alzeh, Hachanami Bein Yerdu Bein Lo Yerdu De'in Bidvar of Klum. Let's say, for example, a person has two pomegranates that are both tevel, and he wants to separate trumas and maestros from the pomegranates. So let's say he makes the following stipulation. He says, if it rains today, so then pomegranate A will, I'm going to be mafers truma on pomegranate A to cover pomegranate B, and if it doesn't rain today, then I'm going to do the opposite. I'm going to take off from pomegranate B to cover pomegranate A. So the Gemara says that presumably that shouldn't work in either case. Why? Because this is not a Brera problem, this is a truma problem, because again, in the case of truma, you need to know what's what. You have to know what's the truma and what's the leftover. But here, when you made the stipulation, you don't know if it's going to rain today or not, so there's no way for you to know going in which pomegranate is the truma one and which one is not. So the Gemara says, V'chite mahachinami, maybe you'll tell me, yeah, you're right. Maybe, in fact, you cannot separate truma in that case because of this issue of shia reha nikarin, but it's not true, the Gemara says. V'hasnan, we have a Mishnah Maseches Trumos that says, truma sakriya zeh ma'asrosa besocho, utrumas ma'aser zeh besocho, Rav Shimon Omer kara hashem. Comes the Mishnah Maseches Trumos and says, let's say, for example, I have a pile of, let's say, it's quasi tevel, meaning to say, I took off meiser, but I didn't take off truma, or I took off truma, but I didn't take off meiser. Again, whatever the case is, and a person makes the following designation. They say that this pile is going to be truma, and the meiser is going to be inside of the pile, or this pile is meiser, and the truma is going to be inside of the pile. Reb Shimon says that is a valid designation. So doesn't that prove that the whole concept of shiareh nikarin, this whole notion that I need to be able to tell tell what's truma and what's not truma is in fact not true. Because if that were the case, how could I make this stipulation and say that this part of the pile is truma, this part is maaser, this is not, this is maaser, this is truma? I don't know what's what going in. I don't know what part of the pile is truma, what part is maaser. How does that designation make any sense? So the Gemara says, no, it's not true. Shiny hasam di ikas svivav. So one answer the Gemara says is that no, that really you can tell what's what to a certain extent. Namely, the grain that surrounds the pile is clearly not truma. Because since you said that the truma should be inside of the pile, any grain that surrounds the pile, by definition, is not going to be included. So since there is a part of the grain that is recognizable as not being truma, that qualifies as for the halacha of shi'areha nikar. That's one answer. V'ibay yaseima kidiktani taima, amru lola Rabbi Meir, i'ata moda, shema yivka hanod, v'nimtza zeshosa tivalim lemafreya, amar lehu l'cheshe yivka. So then the Gemara says that the Chachamim turned to Rabbi Meir and say to Rabbi Meir, hang on one second. Again, this is going all the way back to the case we mentioned yesterday regarding the wine, right? I purchased wine from the Kusim. According to Rabbi Meir, who, again, seemingly subscribes to Breira, he says all you have to do is get up and say, I'm designating X amount for Truma, X amount for Meiser, X amount for Meiser Sheni, and according to Rabbi Meir, that works. That's completely fine. So the Chachamim say to Rabbi Meir, hang on one second. What happens if one of the flasks of wine that I purchased from the Kusim bursts? And so, in other words, let's say before I had a chance to separate my Truma, Meiser, Meiser Sheni, in other words, let's say the rest of the wine spilled on the floor. So it turns out that retroactively, I just violated an Isser D'Oraisa of eating Teva. Why? Because I made a verbal designation that X amount of wine should be Truma, Meiser, Meiser Sheni, but let's say I drank half the flask, and then before I got around to actually separating the Truma and Meiser, Meiser Sheni, it all spilled on the floor. So now I just violated an Isser D'Oraisa. So the Chacham Seder Rameyer, isn't that dangerous? How can you rely on that? How can you just say, oh yeah, you could drink the wine, and then just hope for the best? What if all the wine spills on the floor? So what's Rameyer's response? He says, look at Sheyivka. He says, when the wine spills on the floor, we'll talk about it. When the flask bursts, we'll talk about it. Meaning, Rameyer is basically saying, we're not so concerned that that's going to happen. It's highly unlikely, it's highly improbable that that issue is actually going to arise. So now the Gemara says, Ulamai desolaka daitin meikara. But according to what we were saying initially, that there's a requirement that rachis sheshiyareh hanikaren, that there's a requirement that you need to be able to distinguish, you have to be able to tell what's what. Again, that was part of the halacha of truma, that you need to be able to see what's truma, what's not truma. So what was the response? What was Ramir's response to the chachamim? So it says the Gemara, hachi kamer le lididan ba'inan rachis sheshiyareh hanikaren lididachi atamode shema yivka hanovanim sashosa tivalim lemafreya amar lahen l'chesh. So again, the Chachamim say, according to us, we have this halacha that we insist on shi'areha nikaren. You have to be able to tell what's truma, what's not true. So in other words, the Chachamim say that the whole case of the buying the wine from the kusim is not going to work at all, because you have no idea which wine is truma and which is not from the outset. But even according to you, Reb Meir, even you who deny this halacha of shi'areha nikaren, in other words, you say you don't need to be able to tell from the outset what's truma, what's not. Wouldn't you agree with us that there's a chance that the wine may burst, or the flask may burst and the wine may spill, and then you're going to violate the issur of drinking tab? And he says, again, we'll worry about it when it happens. Again, basically the idea is that Rameyer is not really too concerned about this notion, about this halacha of the wine coming to spill.